Good morning, Patriots. It is Saturday, July 24th, and the month of July has almost ended, which is stunning. We are rapidly heading into August, which is the month of Bards Fest. August 26th to August 29th in St. Charles, Missouri. We pray will be the biggest and largest awakening and revival in the history of the world. An assembly of patriots, God-loving, God-fearing, in the center of this country to set God first in all things. And we want you there. So you need to get your tickets to Bards Fest. You can go to www.bardsfest.com and you'll see the ticket click links there. There's an indoor venue and an outdoor venue. And hopefully we will see today the ability to, we should be able to see the ability to, I'm reading an email from exactly what I was about ready to say. We should be able to see the chart or the list of everybody who is going to be performing and what time, and that should be done. It was supposed to be done yesterday, but it looks like it won't be done until tonight or tomorrow. And that should help everybody make a good decision on what days you want to be there. Needless to say, I will assure you that there is absolutely no day you will be there you will not love. All days are great. We have a packed venue with packed speakers and entertainment, and it's absolutely fantastic. So, www.bardsfest.com, and you want to be there, get your tickets. And plan on being in St. Charles, Missouri, 26th to the 29th of August. It will be an event of a lifetime, very seriously. We also want to remember MyPillow. Mike Lindell will be speaking on the 27th of August in both the indoor and the outdoor venues. Outdoor venues in the morning, indoor venue in the evening. This man has done more for this nation than we can possibly imagine. He's one of the great CEO patriots of our entire history of as a nation. And so to celebrate him, we are also asking patriots to make sure you have a pair of My Slippers. We'd like to see a million My Slippers around the world, frankly, with people online and there. But make sure you have My Slippers. You have a pair of My Slippers. It's a pretty good idea as well to have a pair of My Sheets, My Pillows, My Comforter, and then they've got an incredible deal going on right now on My Towels. So head on over to MyPillow.com, and when you get there to MyPillow.com, all you have to do is cruise on down to the center of the page where it will say Radio Listener Specials, and you click there, and you're going to see right at the top an amazing special on towels. This is American Cotton. Six-piece towel set, $39.99. And that's incredible. They've got another special going on, Giza Dream Sheets, two for one low price and free shipping. Then, of course, our favorite, My Slippers, 40% off. And they've got, they even have his book on sale. What do you know? Look at that. Just amazing. And they've got My Mattresses, too. That's a new one. So you need to go on over there, and oh, by the way, you can get a My Body Pillow. Can you imagine that? A My Body Pillow. I don't do body pillows. Some of you do, though. So there you go. So get on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, the best promo code on the entire web, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and get those items and get your My Slippers and get ready for Bards Fest. That's the big one. So again, MyPillow.com, or you can also, just in case you need some counseling, they have a special number set up, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. This is how this counseling number works. When you call up MyPillow and you say, I'm having trouble sleeping, can I speak to a counselor? They're going to say, of course, we're here to help. Do you have your promo code? And you say, yes, B-A-R-D-S. What's your problem again? I can't sleep. And they'll say, I've got you fixed. All you have to do is order a whole bunch of stuff from us, pillows, sheets, comforter, and slippers. And when you get through with that, you'll sleep just fine. And you can save going to a counselor. It's easy. Real easy. So there you go. MyPillow.com, 800-975-2939, and promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And you match that with your BARDS Fest tickets that you're going to get at BARDSFest.com. You're throwing gas on fire and you're walking with pride. That's awesome. Well, Patriots, you know, this morning I'm really reflecting. I was reflecting on this idea of dutiful servant. And in our culture, how repulsive that idea has become, and yet how instrumental it is in much of the biblical scripture, especially with Christ. We live in a time when being independent and thinking for ourselves and being our own person has become a persona that is so deep within our culture. It's even almost parallel the idea of being a patriot, that somehow that being a patriot, we must be independent and we must think for ourselves, which is true to a degree, but that no one's going to tell us what to do and that we're free and we walk without anybody, without serving any man. That's the key word there, man. But we forget that we are serving God in all things. So let me begin by reading the parable of the talents, especially since last night I was talking about parables and how powerful a communication tool they are. Let's read one and then we'll talk about this a bit. And this is Matthew 25:14-30. Matthew 25:14-30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master and those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of the interesting things about this parable I always find is this relationship, the discussion of a master and a servant. And in this day, those ideas that repulse people. They don't like the idea of being considered to be a servant to anyone, let alone an idea of having to do something for a master. And yet, this is exactly what our duty is to God. We are the servants of God. We are obedient to Him, and we are executing His will on this earth. And if we are to be trusted, we must be entrusted with what little is given so that He can give more. But so much of our world that we work in these days is about me. I built a business. I did this. I am going to accomplish this next goal. And so little is done in terms of God has done this and I have been His servant. It's one of those challenging places when we talk of Christ in our lives and when we accept Christ in our lives. Because again, people don't like the idea of being a servant to another, especially in this world now. This world has become a world consumed with the religion of me. Me, me, me. I need to feel good. I need to accomplish this. I need to get a bigger house. I need to get this. My car is this. My house just received this valuation. My job just gave me this reward. My 401k, etc., etc. The I and the me become the dominant control elements and focus elements and defining elements of who we are in this society. Where is the humbleness? Where is the reality that none of that exists without God? Without us being dutiful servants to the Lord, we have nothing. Oh, it may seem. In fact, this is part of the parable, or I would say the paradox of the world we live in, because we witness it. We see people who are essentially godless, who acquire mass amounts of wealth and power. And we find ourselves saying, yes, but Lord, what about them? And the answer really sits with this. They are in this world. We are not of this world. God provides us with all that we need in terms of gifts and talents so that we can grow more and then He can give more. And when we trust that way, there's never anything to worry about. It is all given. Imagine the person that is always scrapping to get more, fighting and taking and maneuvering so that they can acquire more. Those two worlds are opposite. One is tied to this world, the other is not of this world. And yet the one not of this world never has any worries or fears because God will provide all. And we're just talking about material things. We're not talking about the greater aspects of being a servant to God. The first and foremost question always is, what is our station, our worth, our thing in this world? What is our mission here? And I guarantee you, as much as you can read the Bible, it's not going to tell you being in this world, working with God, means that you need to get yourself a brand new Dodge Ram TRX and you need to get yourself a pair of brand new Armani shoes and you will get yourself a Armani suit with a bull of a watch. I don't think it says that anywhere. I looked, and believe it or not, it's not there. You see, we get this idea that being in this world means we have to get all these things of the culture, that its success is defined by what we do with our gifts and talents in terms of material rewards. That's the other great part about this parable, is that when we read it from a lens of our culture, we see this as like, oh my goodness, this guy must have done great on Wall Street. He took his 5 talents and my goodness, now he's got 5 more. He's got 10 talents. This dude should get a place in Wall Street. That is not what we're talking about here. This is about using the gifts and talents God gave you to grow in this world as God needs you to grow, and to trust in God to do such a thing, using the gifts and talents to do just as God's will intends. You become a dutiful servant. I know we know this intuitively, but the traps that are around this are phenomenal, and we all face them, each one of us. We run that fine line between the gifts and talents that God gives us and the ideas of the culture, which says our gifts and talents are ours. The gifts and talents are money. The gifts and talents are material output and material rewards. And it's a dangerous trap. It limits us and limits God and how he can work in our lives. Our gifts and talents in this culture are all defined in terms of a material tagline or material byline or material bottom line. So if you have a gift and talent, if it doesn't translate to a college degree, a certification, if it doesn't translate to a dollar amount, then it has no value. Imagine, and I think every one of us has crossed this place at some point, and I guarantee you every child is crossing this place at some point. I feel like doing this. Let's just say, for example, I would like to become, I'll just be personal about it. I wanted to become a photographer. And that got translated to how much money will that person make? And so I put it off. I didn't do a degree in it. I didn't pursue it as my primary focus and career until later in my life when finally I woke up and realized that that was the gift and talent God wanted me to follow. And through that, it led to many other things. That gift and talent, by the way, after the first year in Afghanistan, was such a powerful gift and talent that God had given me that I was awarded an Emmy for my work after 1 year. That's a profound statement to where God leads us when we listen. And no, I don't have a degree in it. So that was another piece of advice someone told me once, which was fantastic, because I was somewhere before there, I worked with a photographer, and I said, I'm thinking about going back to school to get my degree. He said, don't waste your time. He said, take all that money and just acquire the equipment that you need, and then start shooting, meaning start taking pictures and never stop. It's a great, great bit of advice. So God's gifts and talents lead us places when we follow them, and we don't follow the outcome or expectation of what you're going to make with a salary, but that's what happens today. And so it gets very confusing for someone who has a calling to do something, whatever that is. And then they have to look at that and say, okay, well, this is what I feel compelled to do, which is quite possibly being called by God to do such a thing. Oh, but look, this only makes $24,000 a year on average wage. And over here, this other thing, which I hate to do, but at least it gets a good degree, it sounds interesting, that might get $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year. That's how we end up choosing our paths in life. And when we do that, the minute we start that process, which unfortunately starts most youth, it's influenced that way in families. Families will even talk about it as a child gets older. Oh, my son, my son are so successful. They are so wonderful. They went to school and they're becoming a doctor, or they're becoming a pharmacist, or they're becoming an engineer, and they're going to make this much money. and I'm so proud of them. It's always related to salary, money, and material things. How often do you hear parents talk of, I'm so proud of my son or daughter because they've decided not to go to college and they've just determined that they wanted to accomplish these things that they're called to do. And now they're finding a mentorship to work with somebody who's best in the field and they launch their career. Never talking about a salary, but talking about their passions and gifts and talents. We don't hear that. I guarantee it. I could survey 1,000 parents and I will almost guarantee you out of 1,000, at the very best, there'll be one that'll say something like that. And I can almost guarantee you not one will actually say it. It will always come back to, oh, I'm so proud of my child because they are making this. And here's the other one. And even worse, this will be the other discussion. It'll be this. I don't know. You know, my son, daughter had decided they didn't want to go to school. And I'm just shaking my head trying to tell them they're making a mistake. They need to get a degree. And if they don't get a degree, it's going to be a hard road ahead to get a job. And I really don't know. They're wandering, but hopefully they'll come to their senses and they'll get back to school. That's the nonsense we get today. And I'm going to bet you, and if I surveyed 10,000 parents, I would get that response over 9,000 times, if not 9,999 times. That's because our parents are as indoctrinated into this stupid system as anybody. Because we fail to relate our lives to God and ask and let God guide us in where we want to go. When we embrace the path that God puts before us, and we take the challenges, and by the way, let me be clear, I am in no way discounting education. You should know that about me. I believe deeply in the need for knowledge. I'm not discounting any form of education, especially when led. But when we start our entire framework around a relationship to a degree which translates to money, that's Lucifer's world. And that's not about gifts and talents. College is a funny place, and it's a trap for kids. It's really just an indoctrination camp anymore for the world of darkness and being led away from God. And one of the biggest places that happens is a child walks into this and they go, oh my goodness, look at all the possibilities. And you'll hear this all the time in college indoctrination, and they'll say, you need to take a survey course. Well, what's a survey course? We'll introduce you to all the possibilities of your life. You can take many samples of what's out here in offerings of degrees and you'll find something. Well, okay, that sounds great. And so they start wandering. And they're wandering in the desert. Now, I would be willing to bet you if you dug into most universities, you won't find a program talking about, let's find your talent through the relationship in God. I will pretty much assure you that does not exist. I don't even think that exists at Liberty University, and I have a lot of respect for Liberty U. All of this translates always to the skill sets that is translatable to a degree, a job, or something. Or better yet, in the new economy, it translates to some nonsense degree, like something like women's transgender studies, whatever that is. Sensitivity training for the new evolving culture of equal parity in sex. I don't know. I mean, it's... they've got some stupid titles for these degrees, which translate to absolutely nothing. And kids learn the hard way because they get out of university and they go, oh, I have a degree and I'm going to go find a job. And guess what? All your new acquired talent has zero value in this culture, but you did get one thing for sure. And they're so happy to give it to you. It's called debt. And you're now a slave to the system because you were a fool that took the path to letting Lucifer's army guide you into the cell of enslavement. We have to reclaim that place again of listening to God and letting our gifts and talents lead us. I love cultures. Germany still does it. A lot of the European cultures still do it. And I'm not a Europhile by any means, but I do respect the apprenticeship program, because these are programs where true and meaningful deep skills are passed on, and children are selected for an innate talent within them and an interest that will guide them. So this is so powerful when we start to learn trades and skills, because that translates to so much in our life. That's a true talent. And it doesn't mean a person is in that true talent for life, but it means they learn a true talent and skill to create something with God's gifts. Think of all the ripple effect across Scripture, what that means. That means that when you tithe, you're tithing something of your creation, of your hands, which God has guided you on. It's not just a monetary tithe. We have to break the cycle of the forming and restricting of the nature of value. And at the center of that is gifts and talents. It's how we perceive them, how we use them, how we apply them, even how we seek them. And those gifts and talents need to be robust. They need to be something in our life where they are fulfilling to us far beyond just that which sits before us in a paycheck. They have to be far greater than what the skill is that we have and how that skill translates to a salary or a projected income. We have to get back to the independence of using gifts and talents the way God intended, to grow in ways we've never imagined growing. When you run your own business, you become a doer of many, many things if you're going to be successful. You have no chance of hiring somebody for all the tasks that are before you. You have to learn the many tasks. You have a core set of talents and gifts that you're using to grow that business, but you become a doer of many things, and by virtue of that, each of your skills expand, your gifts and talents get more enhanced, and we become better at what we do. And that's the process of being involved. So let's go back to the idea of photography for a minute. It's one thing when you start in that passion and follow your gifts and talents to take pictures as a storyteller. But as was passed on to me very wisely, you really become a storyteller once you become the editor of your own work. So as we expand our gifts and talents into the bigger picture of what is required, we take the 5 talents and we turn them not into 10, but maybe even into 20, because we start to realize the range of things that can be done within this skill set, within these talents that God gave us. And in the end, we're accomplishing as God intends us to do in huge ways. What we aren't doing is telling God, well, I thought with God that I would like to do this, gifts and talents, and I decided I'm not going to do it because I was afraid of what salary I might actually make. And I was afraid of not complying to my parents' will of the college they chose for me or the career path they wanted me to take. I was afraid of not following their direction. I was afraid of what my peers would think if I didn't go to school or college or I didn't get a degree in this or that. I was afraid. And the master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. For to everyone who has will have be more given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That there is the consequence. We have a gift and talent, not just one, but many, each of us. And in this time, in this fight, in this war, never have those gifts and talents been so important. God has called his army to the line. God has called us to stand, and not stand with how much salary you're making on a paycheck, but stand using your gifts and talents and trusting in him that he will provide and deliver. But right now, those that are relying on the salary and the definition of a gift and talent by what you make in terms of a paycheck, if we don't win this fight, none of that value will be worth anything anyway. There is a lot at stake here. And the center point of these two worlds is exactly clear. On one hand, you have the dutiful allegiance to the rules and obligations of a system that's telling you what to do, how to do it, what the rules are for you to operate in, and your freedoms are dictated, dominated, clarified by how they want your gift that they guided you to do, your talent, which they've instructed you about, how it is to be used. And with that, there will be certain rewards. And by a determining factor, which you have no idea about, some will be allowed to rise to great wealth, and most will be allowed to fall and wallow around and be enslaved to the system for their entire life. But you will have debt, and you will have a credit card, and you can play that game as long as you play theirs on their terms. On the other hand, you have a strength of God's army. It's the remnant. And that remnant is getting smaller each day. And that remnant is standing, trusting in God, putting their gifts and talents before God, saying, okay, God, here I am. Whatever you have for me to steward, I shall steward it to the best of my ability. Not because of what we're expecting in terms of a paycheck, but what we're needing in terms of accomplishing our servants and our obedience to God. And it's through that obedience that God ensures us that all things will be provided. But that doesn't mean they'll be provided in the shape and form in which we expect, but they will be provided. Such important concepts. And we have to make those choices, because that center ground that we now sit in, hopefully no longer, but that center ground that now exists between the two sides is increasingly getting sparse with people. You're on one side of this fence or the other. And you determine where you're going to be. And the farther we go down this line, the fewer will stand with God, but those that stand with God will stand there boldly and unwaveringly. And it's probably not an optimistic view to say the fewer that will stand with God when our objective is to bring as many back to God. But these decisions that we're making on this side are getting harder and harder. That remnant has to be more resolute. That remnant has to be more true to the path that God puts before us. That remnant has to reject more and more what the society is dictating for us to do. And when we stand in that place, what we lose in the material, we gain in the spiritual, because we are not in this world and we are not of this world. We simply have a mission in this world to serve our Lord and Savior, our King, and it's through Christ to the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we live. We thank you for this opportunity to serve you humbly, to use our gifts and talents as you direct, Lord. Take us, guide us, send me, Lord. For you have given each of us such talents and gifts that through this army, we have a perfect army that nothing can defeat if we embrace that path you set before us. Let those gifts and talents rise within us. Let this call to each of us rise up within us. Let us feel that demand, that need to use our gifts and talents in new and powerful ways. And let us trust in you, Lord, that all things will be delivered. Let us detach from the concept of material value in each of our gifts and talents and instead turn to you and say, Lord, here I am. And let us raise up those gifts and talents in such a way that each of us is using those to literally transform this world. It is through our gifts and talents, Lord, that we're able to defeat this army, this evil army that stands before us, blindly walking in the obedience of their masters, not following what you gave them, but instead what they're being told to do, unwillfully or willfully, for the motives of money and power and self-aggrandizement. But instead, Lord, let us stand here as we stand here before you as your dutiful servants to obey and to follow as you guide us in the place of love, selflessness, humility, and the use of our gifts and talents to awaken the many, to be the light on the hill, to guide them from the darkness. And so, Lord, we put ourselves before you this morning, humbly on our knees. We thank you for all you give and all you provide, honoring you through our Savior, through our King, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, embrace your gifts and talents. Use them. Steward them. Let God guide you. Show the Lord how we can each use these gifts and talents in new and profound ways. Trust in him, for what is given, more will be provided. Let go of the attachment of translating that gift and talent to money, but let God show you how it can be used and what the rewards are in this world. Easier said than done. I will always say that. But the rewards are profound. The rewards are profound. And by the way, I think again, if you go back through the scripture and you say to God, I'm using my gifts and talents and now I'm supposed to get a mansion on the hill and a new jet to fly to Africa. I don't think you're going to find that. Keep digging though. Let me know if you do. But I do think when you read about your gifts and talents, you will find that within there is the beautiful reward of something greater than we can ever imagine, bringing more people back to Christ. That has no tangible value. It is greater than value itself. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are the foundation of all that we do. Patriots, our relationship to God, our relationship to each other, our relationship to this world. Keep your prayers up. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. We have a mission ahead of us. It's going to be as demanding as anything we've ever done. And it's getting more so each and every day. As the world unravels and the fools of the puppet masters are revealed, the many are slowly awakening. And never will so much be asked of so few by so many. You're now in the ranks of the remnant. Be prepared. Buckle up. The time for our gifts and talents is upon us in a way we've never before imagined. And in the end, we know a one solitary issue, that through that process, we know boldly that God will win. Have a blessed Saturday. Enjoy the day. Get out in your garden. Walk in the world. Look up. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful time to be alive. I'll see you this evening or whenever, but until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. What the night.